welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. We're switching out our show schedule today to give Steve a bit more time in the cave. We're truly blessed and excited to be joined by the Buddha today, and who better to offer insight around judgment and discernment? It can be a little confusing when we're faced with something repulsive in our lives. Quite often, our first reaction is one of judgment, but there are always many ways to look at any given person, place, or thing. When something catches our attention, perspective is everything. When we can see below the surface to what's really going on with, say, a mean person, judgment easily shifts into compassion. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie, and what a great introduction.
Wow. Well, this is going to be an interesting conversation. So we were talking about what the difference between judgment and discernment actually is.
You know, I've been thinking about this. Actually, this show came from one of our listeners writing in and saying that this is an area of confusion for her. And I think it's an area, questionable area, shall we say, for a lot of folks. And so to me, as I was thinking about it, is that judgment has a real charge to it. Mm-hmm. You know, and the more I thought about it, is judgment really is a situation that refers to yourself, that you can either like or dislike or heartily dislike someone else, an institution, a person, or a situation is up to. But really, it's about you.
Yeah.
That the payoff, there's always a payoff in judgment. And it's about you. It's about you feeling like you really like that person, which you're judging them to be in a certain way, or you really don't like that person or that situation or that environment, and you're judging it because it's triggering something in you that's really about you and your values. And what I saw when I was looking at it was that there's an attachment there, a cording, if you would, to some of the old paradigms like lack, limitation, lack of self-worth, abandonment, betrayal. And so judgment has that negative connotation, whereas I think when we're talking about discernment, and I'm sure the Buddha has a lot to say about it, but I think discernment is when you have that capacity to basically stand back and be the observer.
Observer, that's exactly right. And that is the difference for me. When I see, okay, say I'm walking on the street or driving and I see someone, do I have a judgment about them? A judgment would be my determining that what they're doing should be different. They should be doing something differently. Okay, it's none of my business that they're doing anything differently. I am observing. Oh, look, that person is doing something. It probably hurts them. How interesting. Instead of, what are they doing? They shouldn't be doing that. I think there's the key difference.
That's absolutely the difference right there. Because in that moment when we're saying, oh, what a jerk.
Yeah.
Who do they think they are?
Right.
Is that what we're doing is not only are we negating ourselves, but we're negating them. So rather than holding the higher vision, not holding love, we're sending them all these negative vibes, and we're sending those negative vibes to ourselves as well.
Right.
So we just sort of dropped right back into the old third.
Well, and it might not have really triggered us so much, whatever they're doing or saying or whatever, if we didn't have some kind of niggling thing going on inside of us, as you said, that makes that such an evil and bad thing. Maybe it's something that we overcome or overcame at some point and feel like they should have been able to overcome it as well.
Yes, or the feelings associated with that situation.
Right.
We think that we've resolved.
Right.
And we still have some of that hurt child
residue, yeah,
inside of us. And what was really interesting when I was meditating is that it's the same for the really positive stuff. Like when we say, oh, isn't she a really good person? You know, and it's not like we have anything other than our gut reaction, which, you know, we all want to trust our guts. But again, it's judging that person based on who we think we are.
Right.
Or who we want to be. So again, it's that payoff for us. Oh, look, she's just like me.
Right.
So I'm going to like you.
Yeah, right. And projection, too. We project things onto people when they disappoint us that they are not meeting our expectations. Then all of a sudden it's like, well, you didn't do what I thought you were going to. You weren't the person I thought you were.
You aren't the person I wanted you to be.
That's right. It could be
this
tough.
Didn't turn out how I wanted it
right.
to turn out.
So it actually comes down to attachment.
That's why I use the word courting. It's huge attachment, but it's attachment not in terms of attachment that the Buddha does use it, to the highest vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's attachment to our own feelings of lack or want or need or insufficiency.
And an attachment to belief, you know. Oh God, we won't talk about politics, but I just feel like so many people are really tied up with their belief system that they just can't see any other way.
You know, this came up in the meditation as well, because I think right now in the United States that we have this wonderful situation, as she breathes deeply. And isn't that my judgment? But we do have this great situation where we can either practice discernment and hold the highest vision, regardless of what that is, or we can fall into judgment and pointing fingers and feeling, you know, good or bad about a situation. And that doesn't serve any of us.
No, and part of it, as you're saying, that comes to me is that there are so many that just want to be told what to believe and what to do. It's astonishing.
And in the new realm on Nova Earth and being a Nova being, the new you, is that no one can tell you what to do, what to believe.
So people will be lost?
No, I think what it does is that it turns the dynamics of a situation into one of empowerment. When you move out of judgment into discernment, you're saying, I have the ability to truly look at a situation with compassion and wisdom and to see it for what it truly is. And I'm the one that's doing the perception. I'm the one that's holding the higher vision. I'm the one that's bringing that ancient wisdom and truth to the situation. So it's really empowering. The difficulty is that the human race, for, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years, has been brainwashed into thinking that they don't have the right or the power to do that.
Oh, well, you know, then that brings me to another thought, that it's the ego that wants to keep us small, and it's also the ego that makes us feel that we're above it and that we don't have to bother with those things.
Or apart from it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and that's a huge danger, too, because we came to this earth, especially every single one of us on the planet right now, came to Gaia to participate in the changes that we are bringing forth through our own creations.
Yes.
And so
yes.
When you say, I'm above it, I'm a part of it, oh, those people aren't like me, or, you know, I don't want to even look at that.
Right.
It separates us. And the thing is that that's an illusion, because whether we like it or not, we're not separated. We're one unified grid.
That's true. And, you know, as we're speaking, it just occurs to me, I think of this every day, because someone points out every day that they're sleepers or people not paying attention, whatever. You know what? I'm not going to give that my attention, because I truly believe that everybody is going to come along at some point eventually. So to just put that out of the, you know, not taking space in my brain anymore of worrying about the people that aren't getting it, it's going to be fine.
Well, the other thing that I've been thinking about are feeling about or doing whatever it is we do with things, is that a while ago, you know, the council talked about that the biggest challenge or opportunity for all of us wasn't those who are recalcitrant or really resistant, actively resistant, that the biggest hurdle for all of us to go over together was those who are basically disinterested, disconnected, those who say, you know, I don't feel a part of that. And so I just think the more that we hold the discernment and the love energy and talk to people where they live, not where we judge or think they ought to live, that the more we bring them along. And it's not like I have the answers, let me bring you along and show you. It's just let me share my perspective.
Right. And my experience and how it's been for me.
Yeah. And let me listen to you and hear what you have to say and what your perspective is. Because most of those folks, they've disconnected because they don't feel included, valued, loved, that they're not, they've separated because they think there's no hope.
Right. Exactly. Well, you know, I think that we just, you know, once again, it's the trust walk and say that the work we do is reaching out and it's affecting everyone to whatever degree.
And I think it affects people to a much bigger degree than we can even imagine.
Yeah. Well.
So, yeah. So we're going to switch ourselves and everybody else away from judgment into discernment.
All right. So are you ready for a beautiful, juicy meditation?
I am, and actually this is going to be a little different as well, because when the Buddha has been sitting, and I can tell you, when I channel the Buddha, I did tell you yesterday, Susie, but when I channel the Buddha, it is this huge, huge energy. Mm. So you have to pardon me and breathe with me if I speak slowly, because it's the collective Buddha energy. So when I'm sitting in my chair right now, my channeling chair, but as I meditate, I start to feel like I am bigger and bigger until I'm at the point where I feel like I weigh 2,000 pounds, and I couldn't move even if I wanted to. But as I was sitting here this morning, the Buddha told me that in the meditation, he wanted to share his energy, like install it into each and every person who listens to this show, to this program.
Oh, yay.
And so part of the meditation is going to be us deciding where we want that installation to be. So hang on to your hats.
I know. That sounds good. All right.
Thank you. Doesn't that sound like fun? Okay.
It does. Okay.
So away we go. So let's begin by taking a nice deep breath of the deepest, darkest, richest magenta you can imagine. The color of that really dark wine color chrysanthemum. Of a pansy. It's not purple and not red, but that wonderful deep magenta. The color of a really old, fine port. Relax into your chair, the floor, your car seat, the bed, wherever you are. And just feel all your energy coming down into your heart and pulling up from our beloved Gaia, up your legs and your torso, into your heart. And over your beautiful tri-flame of the blue and pink and golden diamond. See this enormous flame of magenta. And this is your Buddha flame. This is the wisdom and the compassion of the Buddha. So again, breathe in and taste that beautiful ray of magenta, that balance of blue and red. And feel that flame over your heart, sending the energy out right to the crown, filling your pineal and your pituitary, your third eye, your fourth eye, your throat, your thymus. And then feel it flowing down as if the flame is growing into your solar plexus and tummy and root and right down to your toes. And allow yourself, open yourself. Be that lotus blossom, the water lily, or the rose. Open yourself and declare your willingness to receive, to shift, and to welcome discernment, compassion, awe, and wisdom. The Buddha wishes to give us the gift of this discernment, of this wisdom and compassion, and for it to be part of our very being. And he is with us right now. That massive, giant, huge Buddha energy. He is not insistent that this energy be stored in your heart. It is wherever you would like to put it, wherever you would like to store this energy, where you can access it, use it, take it out, call upon it at any moment throughout eternity. This is not a gift that will fade ever. So decide right now with me and with him where in your body you would like to store this wisdom of discernment. Is it in your legs or your Buddha belly? Your heart? Your head? Your tiny finger? Just decide. Somewhere, dearest heart, that you will remember always. Somewhere that you can literally touch easily with your hand or your fingertips to call upon this energy of my essence and my being. Now put your hand in this place that you have decided to stay. And simply feel the warmth as I place this gift within you. Relax. I would like you to welcome and breathe magenta. Use this gift, not now and then, but every single day. For it is part of you now. Greetings, I am the Buddha.
Welcome.
And welcome to you, beloved sisters, beloved angels, beloved listeners, beloved family, beloved Gaians, do you know how long I have waited to speak to all of you as Gaians, as a unified whole, as simply one? For this is truly a day of celebration, of magnificence, and that is why I have brought my gifts to you, to sit with you, to kneel with you, to walk with you, and yes, to speak of this issue, because it is an issue of judgment and discernment. Judgment is part of the false illusions that have grown up in this race called humanity. And it is among, if not the most destructive element of the human race ever. It is judgment that has caused war and poverty and death and disease, isolation and separation. Judgment is not simply thinking that someone is wearing a funny hat or an outrageous outfit or behaving in a manner that is distasteful. Judgment is finding another lacking, that somehow you in your arrogance believe you have the right to bring your wisdom, false wisdom, to the situation and deem a person worthy or unworthy, likable or unlikable, lovable or unlovable, worthy or unworthy, not only of your love, but of their right to be upon the planet. You see, judgment is very much the cancer of humanity. Yes, a virus. And it may start out as a slight sniffle or a hiccup, but the end result, as the virus grows both within you and externally, because what is within is always without. That is the law. And so what happens is that it causes devastation. It causes the eradication of worth, of connection, and certainly the elimination of any sense of community. There are those who practice judgment and believe falsely that they are part of this or that community. And in that misinformation, this misunderstanding, this judgment, they exclude. Now, how could that ever be a replica or a mirror or a practice of the divine? Well, you all know that it most certainly cannot be. Our judgment is of spiritual, mental, emotional arrogance. And that arrogance is simply a mask for feeling less than, for insufficiency, and for the lack of self-worth. All of our messages, all of the times that we have spoken to you, that I have spoken to you, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. We talk about the unifying factor that you find yourself and love yourself so that you may see and recognize others. And when I say others, I do not simply mean human beings. I mean all beings, whether it is a cow or a mountain or a stream or a river. Judgment is based in cruelty. It is based in the feeling or the desire to make one feel either elevated or less than, or even excluded. And that denies the basic recognition that all beings come from one and are part of one and always will be and always have been. Judgment is a very bad habit. No, I do not say that in judgment. It is much the way as destructive patterns or habits have harmed the human race. How do you break this pattern, this addiction? Now, I am not saying, my friends, that you do not discern. You have a brilliant mind, a discerning wit, clear vision, preferences, and yes, of course, the reality of your perceptions. So let me use an example. Let us come. Sit next to me under the Bodhi tree. Let us take this tiny speck of time and elongate it into many days. And as we sit there will be times of peaceful silence and no dust. We will smell the fragrance of the flowers, and even the hum of the flies will sound sweet. And then there will be times when someone drives by us, either in an ox cart or even a motorcycle or a car. And they speed by paying no attention to us, trying to gather the love from the sheer air. Do we curse those beings? Do we send them into the shadows? And do we say that they have no place upon this dusty trail? We do not know whether they are hurrying to the market because they finally have money for food for their family, or they are rushing to aid another or going to the hospital, or whether they are simply out for a joyride, such a funny term. All you know is that the person that is passing by is the same as you. And either in this or other lives or other situations, you have behaved in this way, sometimes intentionally, sometimes simply unconsciously, not even realizing that you were spewing dust and dirt and mayhem all over us sitting under the Bodhi tree. So we cannot judge in the same way as when one comes along and offers us a basket of fruit, and we eat this delicious, nurturing substance, and we think, what a fine fellow. And that is the truth. But we do not know whether this one is attempting to make recompense or simply practicing generosity, or that the food was about to go rotten and he thought, give it to the beggars sitting under the Bodhi tree. We do not know, and we do not need to know, because it is truly Source that has delivered that fruit to us in our hour of hunger. And so always we bless. We cannot always discern. You discern the blessing and you leave the motivation out of the equation. Your expression of gratitude, our expression of gratitude, our enjoyment of the fruit, it is a gift. The gifts come in many, many forms. But when you are judging, my friends, rather than discerning, observing, and participating, because eating the fruit is participation, thanking them is participation, but you remain in that neutral position, and in that way you are able to see the divinity in the gifter, in the fruit, in the basket, and even in the dust. If we rise up and walk, as I have asked you to do many times with me, and we travel from village to village through your own preferences and the perceptions that you have, there will be some villages you love and connect to, and then there will be others that you feel disconnected or indifferent to. It does not mean that you condemn the difference or the indifference. It is simply that it is not your first choice. But you do not say to everyone who lives in the village that you are indifferent to move out, that it is evil, that it is lacking, because you do not know the joys that are felt within each and every hearth, the reasons that people live there, the choices they have made. No, your only choice is to honor that. You may not choose to reside there, but you do not judge it. Judging is always cruel. And what it does is it robs you of the truth. We speak of compassion, of awe, and of wisdom. But what discernment also is a seeking and an acceptance of the truth, that you put yourself in the quietude, the certitude of your being, of your heart, of your mind. And you not only seek, but you find and you allow and you become that truth. And when you see the truth, it is not differentiated from wisdom or compassion. It allows you to see the pattern. And if there is something in the wisdom and the truth that you see in the existing pattern, whether it is in a person or a situation or a collective or an environment, and you truly see that there is an element missing, then with the greatest of compassion, you send that missing link. That is the reason why we leave the Bodhi tree and travel with nothing but our eyes and our hearts, so that we may freely do the work that is necessary. No, my friend, it is not about being a saint. It is about being human. It is about recognizing your divinity and the divinity in everything. Long ago, I have asked you in discernment to attach in these situations or in your creations to the highest vision, the truth, and then radically to detach in many ways. Discernment is about detachment. So you attach to what you wish in the purest sense of the word, to the truth. And then you step back, detached, and you observe what is. Just watching. And then you attach in the realm that you occupy in ways that are of compassion and wisdom and truth to the pathway that leads to the highest vision. That is how any being proceeds, because it is not of hatred or of false delight, of which I have known much. It is simply the truth. Does it take practice? Previously, I would have said yes, many, many lifetimes of practice. But my beloved friends and family, you've done that practice. I am not speaking of something of which you are not fully aware. You know your perceptions. Your ability to perceive is elevated more than ever. So you are ready for this shift. Now, dearest Suzanne, what questions do you have for me this day?
Oh, thank you, Buddha, for joining with us today. It's been a delight to hear what you have to say. And if a thing catches our attention and brings with it a negative feeling, we can allow ourselves the feelings and take action to distance ourselves. At the same time, what catches our attention is quite often what brings new information. It's a matter of perspective, so that's where discernment comes in to help us know how to proceed. Perhaps when prolonged exposure, say, would bring either judgment that couldn't be overcome or some kind of transformation that shifts all that energy into compassion and love. That's the kind of nudge that we could look to you for, correct?
That is exactly correct. And let us tell you, that shift is always possible. That is why I have said, speaking of judgment is simply as an addiction or a habit, a bad habit. When I use that word, I mean a habit that does not contribute to your happiness, to your joy.
Right.
So yes, when your attention is garnered to a situation or a purpose or a person, and you say, this feels, it is raising rancor or disgust or hatred, then what is the issue? You can choose in that very moment to call me and touch where you have stored your gift. Or you can choose to simply stay in the rancor or anger or fear or disgust or hatred. Now, that would be a very strange choice, would it not? And that choice, that decision to stay in what is not serving you is simply a habit. It is simply that you are used to those feelings of disdain.
Mm.
But if you say to yourself, I don't like, let alone enjoy, feeling this way.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me take the giant step backwards into observation.
Right.
And let me see what is really wrong here.
Yeah. Bottom line is we just can't know what someone else's experience is or their mission or their agreements or anything. And part of not judging is taking responsibility for our own journey and allowing other people to do the same. Would it be accurate to say that arrogance is always in hand with judgment?
Yes. They go hand in hand. Just the same way there are many pairings, you know, such as hatred and greed and control.
Mm.
They are a delightful pair, are they not?
All right, well, I have this strange question. When you spoke about when we leave the Bodhi tree and we go traveling and we only have two things, and there was a third thing that came to me, and traveling with keys. Does that mean anything? Is there, well, of course it means something. I'm just, have you got anything to say about that?
Your keys to heaven. Keys to heart. So yes, love, trust, forgiveness, unity, connectedness, and balance. When you carry these keys, you can use them on yourself and on others.
Okay.
So you carry the keys, the codes,
right,
with you. And so although I always pack, as you have seen many pictures of me, I always pack a small sack and put it not on my back, not on a stick. I leave it underneath the Bodhi tree. And so what you can do, dearest heart, is bring those keys with you and carry them for both of us.
Okay. Deal. Okay. Wow. Okay, so this is just really very interesting, and I just... Okay, so the difficulty at this particular point, we seem to be in a really chaotic place. Like, I've never felt better, more connected spiritually and all that sort of thing, but we always do have the outside world as our experience here. and many of us are tired. And so it's an interesting balance here to stay out of judgment about not being able to do more, go faster, shake it off, get through with this, because, you know, we're tired. So how do we not have judgment about that?
Well, if you are tired, go and rest under the Bodhi tree. It sounds simplistic, but what you are doing, and this is a very important question that you raise. You are judging the tiredness, the exhaustion, rather than standing back and saying, this is simply a phase of the journey.
Mm.
And so you are discerning there is an ebb and flow. The sun, the moon, the tides, the seasons. And so what you are doing is you are judging this ebb and flow rather than saying, this is the time of silence. This is the time of resting. This is the time of winter. This is the time of gathering our energy and our dreams and dreaming the dream sleeping under the Bodhi tree, so that when spring arrives, I am ready.
Mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty ready.
But that is simply like the bear awakening from hibernation.
Mm.
So you are ready. But now you then begin to forge and wake up and realize you have three cubs accompanying you and that you better find food quickly.
Right.
So it is that ebb and flow. When you see that there is a lull, shall we put it that way, a lull in the energy, and from our perspective, there is no lull at all because we are using what you are thinking of as quiet downtime to download and fill you and raise you up to a frequency that you have never had before.
Yes. Oh,
so yeah. How are you supposed to be running around from village to village and still be in Olympic training?
Yes. You know, I have to say, I've felt pretty flattened over the last few days. Like, my energy is used up elsewhere. I don't have a lot of juice for life. That's part of the transformation?
You are being given the yet another attunement, an increase in vibratory rates that you haven't felt. Well, and it is not that the mother tsunami stopped, but you haven't felt the intensity of it since the tsunami began. And it is an attunement to raise you to be more in alignment with your divine patterning.
Right.
So
okay.
What does that mean? It means in accordance with the sun, the moon, the stars, your star family, saints, sinners, masters. It is an equalizing energy, but everybody, think of it, everybody is being raised at this time. It is exhausting work. I would suggest you sleep.
Yeah. Yep, sometimes actually sitting in the chair and looking at the wall, that's pretty much what I got.
And do you know, that has been my prescription for happiness for a very long time.
Oh, joy. Well, that's wonderful.
Yes, it is the joy.
Okay, well, it's been really wonderful. Have you got some wonderful words in closing on this wonderful topic?
Yes. I do not want you simply to think of the drudgery of eliminating judgment and the boring nature of discernment. Stand back, be the observer, no action. Discernment frees you up so that when your heart and your solar plexus flare into action, it is right action. It is not wasted motion. It is not spinning your wheels. It is going directly to and through and creating exactly what your heart desires. There are many, many rewards for discernment, my friends. So take my compassion, my wisdom, and claim it as your own. I share it freely. Go with my love.
Thank you.
Farewell.
Farewell.